This week on RSVNB Update, the Grand Exchange user interface has received a massive overhaul. We go over account security and not getting phished in RuneScape, and then we reminisce about 15 years of RSVNB Update. Then we top it all off with a discussion on Chromebooks and TV shows. This is RSVNB Update, episode 782, recorded Thursday, June 18th, 2020, Chromebooks and Phishing Hooks. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSVNB Update. This week is a very monumental week here at the podcast, and you guys might have heard rumblings of this last week and whatnot. But we, of course, decided to preempt the festivities from last week onto this week because last week's episode was just so important when it comes to talking about the lore of archaeology. But I'm getting way ahead of myself this week, and you might think that, oh, is Shane doing the podcast on his own? No, they wouldn't let me do that. I did that once on like episode 6, and that was the end of that. But in any case, joining Tanis and myself this week here to celebrate the 15th anniversary of the podcast is Earth. Welcome back.
Hello.
Trekkie.
Oh, wait, it's my turn. I forgot to breathe.
And, of course, Tanis, you're here each and every week that we do this show. So, big week this week, you guys. Thank you all for being here. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
As we start to get underway and, you know, just do some quick administrative duties here. Full show notes at update.rsbnb.com. I'm Shane12088 in game. Earth is Lord Earth, and Trekkie has the most easily typable name ever. J1, J2, J3. The letter J.
Which
I've somehow bungled at typing once upon a time.
Once.
And Tanis is Tanis 79. So, we're going to talk a bit about 15 years of RSVNB Update in a bit, but Tanis, what was that thing you said before we began that about this panel? And I think that's worthwhile to share as we get started here.
Oh, I was thinking back to, I think this was the same lineup that was on the first episode of RSVNB that I listened to. Or I can remember listening to, like, you know, all the way through. And it was Birthright of the Dwarves. And
that was broken quest when it came out.
It was Earth just beside himself, like, but this doesn't make any sense. There's so many plot holes. And then Shane was torturing people. And Trekkie was giving Shane crap about that. I'm like, this is cool. All right.
I did.
I like this.
Oh, that's so funny now that you mention it. I remember that, the choices in that quest, but that's all beside the point here. I think the quest got better as time went on, didn't it?
I still want to go back and replay it and see, like, was I just half asleep when I did that, or what?
Oh, no,
like,
there were legit concerns that they patched out a while after it came out.
So I wasn't crazy.
No.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Yeah. But, of course, what we're here to talk about this week is the Grand Exchange Ninja Strike number 6. And, you know, this is an update that they say everybody's been banking on. I don't know if I'd go that far on this front.
Banking?
Yeah.
Get off the stage.
Yeah, whoever wrote that, right? So we're just gonna go through some of these changes here and talk about them. And, you know, some of them actually come down to the actual way the client works. They added client-side prediction to the interface so that it means that it's just so much more responsive and fluid. What do you guys think of this? I mean, we saw it in the video when it first was showcased, but actually getting your hands on it, how does it feel to you guys?
I'm going to have to say it's more natural than I thought it would be.
Okay.
I mean, I was looking forward to it from the stream a couple weeks back, but I thought it would be like a little different. Like you'd have to get used to it, but it's pretty smooth.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know at the time is the point when I should bring my hammer down on this because I do have some issues with the way this was done, but we'll get to all that after the fact because I want to focus on just how smooth and fluid the search is right now. Because you know, if you just start off and you just start searching, it's practically instant. Which you know, you got to wonder exactly how much they're predicting on that front, and you know, are they in effect bringing a list of like a list of items to the client to just find it that quick? Because this is faster than any kind of way that an internet server could respond in terms of filling all these items up.
I mean, it's just text.
Yeah, but there's also images too for all the icons.
I mean, that's what the cache is, you know?
Yeah, and you're right. They're probably just querying the cache thinking about it. Because, I mean, now you can just see, well, here's all the items that are blue. And this is something I've wanted to do for a long time, is just be able, you know, use this as a search to see, find all the green items in game, find all the blue items in game, and all the yellow items in game. This is one of the ways that you can now showcase and show this off a lot quicker. What, you never wanted to do that?
Like
the blue party hat, for example.
Right, but then next to, like, what, a blue bubble?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what Tannis is going on about either at this point.
I'm talking to you.
Oh, I'm just talking, about, talking how, about how quick the search is, really, on this front. And, you know, a fun part about it is that if you click on an item, it actually showcases the item in a gold border around it now, and the search box with that also expands and contracts based on where you're focusing, which I think is just a natural extension of what the Grand Exchange should be on that front. What about the favorites? Are you guys using the new favorites section?
I use a little bit of it, I haven't like really gone into it and like picked out these little things, but quite honestly, I usually, if I wanted to see how an item is doing, I usually go out to RSVNB and go to the Grand Exchange portfolio.
Yeah, and see, this is effectively this in game now, where you just have your favorite section. You can just maintain an entire list of all the items that you just want to use as a price check. So if you just want a Grand Exchange price check, this now works as your dashboard. And I'm actually doing that for a couple of herbs and seeds right now. The toad flax and toad flax seed.
Oh, dang it.
Watch out. Now we're going to have high frequency trading in the GE.
No.
It's highly predictive.
There's ways to prevent against that.
Is there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Name four.
I don't know them offhand. Members can have 18 favorites while free to play gets 6.
Nice.
Let's see. What else about favorites? Keybinds have been added to add a favorite when you're in the buy or sell interface. So if you're buying, say, a toad flax seed, and then there you click the little star up at the top, that'll add it to the favorites. But you can also press F to access or to store something as a favorite. So I guess that's right. A new way of paying respect to your Grand Exchange offers.
Bolt kick.
Oh, no. Now, you can also edit existing offers. So if you, for example, make an offer that isn't going through, you can edit it, and it will automatically update it with the new price without needing to completely destroy that offer.
That is what
that
I want to do.
That by itself is...
Yeah, that's
so helpful.
But there's a caveat. Yeah.
It's not real.
It's not real because it will reset your place in the queue.
Me? Is there a queue?
Yeah. So
that's kind of what I thought too, but
so the way it works. Go ahead.
It don't really think that's a huge issue.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. And, you know, for some reason, people did find it as a bit of a concern when that came up, when they first showcased this. But I don't find it as that much of an issue.
Well, you know how you get above the queue?
How?
Give more money.
Exactly. And, you know,
isn't that how it works?
Yeah, that's precisely it. And I guess this would come into play for, you know, people who are buying items under cost to sell at above cost. For example, the merchanters, so that if their items aren't buying and then they edit it, they'll be taken back up to the top of the queue. Whereas previously, before editing it, they would have a stronger possibility of getting the item than someone else would. At least that's what
How is that different than canceling and changing it if they're editing it?
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing as canceling and changing it, but people wanted it to be that you would go into the you would hold your spot with this edit mode. That's what people wanted when this was first showcased. But
So add 3GP to your offer and you're good to go.
Yeah, and it's an engine issue from what we were told on that. They've also added plus and minus 20% buttons for the buy and sell. Previously, they only had the plus and minus 5% buttons. And the overview interface has been adjusted for increased usability and readability. This includes an abort offer button. The wording has been changed from empty to slot X for each little slot. Existing numbers will also show a number next to their buy or sell wording, and current offers will now also show their progress with a number. And for me, it just comes down to this main screen here, that when you're attempting to buy something and it shows you exactly what your process is or progress is on buying that, for me, that's one of my favorite new features of it, is the numbers that it shows. So I'm quite happy about that on that front. Now, I already talked about the search results menu, so I don't think I need to talk about that. I'm just going to go through the rest of the patch notes here for this here. The sets option on the Grand Exchange Clerk or the right-click option has been changed to favorites. Makes sense because, you know, we don't really use the sets. I'm trying to remember the last time, if ever, I used that sets option. I don't know about you guys.
I use it whenever I use the cannon.
Oh.
Saves you 3 slots in the bank and it's neater.
No, that's actually really interesting.
But I think that's the only thing I've used it for.
And also for Barrow's armor before, a lot of people were using that to sell the whole set.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's made life a little bit easier. Let's see. Right click.
The inventory. The inventory displayed on mobile when using the Grand Exchange has been changed to a 4x7 view. We'll come back to this one later as it relates to the bank. Long item names, especially for translated languages, are now truncated with an ellipsis on the overview page. And the quantity, price, and total value boxes have been increased in size to better accommodate for translated languages, and the login message, which tells you about your items in your collection box, now has a 10-minute cooldown to reduce chat spam when hopping between worlds. And just a couple of other little fixes. Clicking or tapping out of the quantity and price input boxes will now deselect them. Dragging untradeable items to the buy or sell box on the overview interface will no longer initiate an empty offer. And right-clicking options in the overview interface that remained on screen after using keybinds will no longer change the selected offer type. And finally, on mobile, selecting the price or quantity boxes no longer moves the search box, so you can now see what you're typing more clearly. And that, in a nutshell, is the Grand Exchange changes this week. I think it's probably the third most common interface people interact with in-game, next to chat and the bank. Would you guys agree with that? if I had to make a guess on that?
I'd say it's top three, I think, depending on the person, the order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're an Iron Man.
Still.
Very true. Unless you're an Iron Man.
Yeah, and then it's basically dead content for you.
Now, I feel like, I don't know. How do you guys feel about this?
I like it.
The update?
Yeah.
I think it's great. Why don't you like it?
Well, I like it, but...
What?
This is an option that they could have taken to go one step further on this. And this was actually highlighted in an Informer article last month by Sirion, in that if you look at the bank from the bank rework last September, you know, we have a different style of button in the bank now, in particular when it comes to presets and transferring items out and putting items that are on your person or in your inventory back in your bank. And I was wondering, why not use this opportunity with the Grand Exchange update to move to that style of button and kind of just add a little bit more uniformity into the game? Because if you click on buy and then you...
You crazy person.
What, wanting consistency?
Yeah.
Because if
you think you are?
Because if you click on buy, like, here's the thing. You have two different styles of buttons. You have the main style on the overview interface. Then you have the ones for the plus quantity and the plus and minus prices and whatnot. Then you have a different style for the plus and minus where you can, you know, just increase that by one or however much you want to for each one. Then at the bottom, you have your confirm offer button. There's just lots of confusing design language that's being used here. And I realize this was a product of the Ninja team, but it just would have been such a great opportunity to unify the styles of the bank with the Grand Exchange, which when you think about it, it makes sense that they should be kind of the same because they serve the same function, commerce, in-game.
Look at this crazy guy over here.
And then it could snowball and lead to more things, like adding more consistency within the MakeX interface. Like, for example, it seems as though that all the yellow buttons in-game are the action buttons. But for some reason, when you go into the buy offer button, the pluses and minuses are also yellow, which isn't the same thing as having a confirm to do a make X or to initiate an offer. And, you know, that's really my only complaint with this update, because it's functionally okay and it's functionally, you know, a 4 out of 5, because we don't really give 5 out of 5s here on the podcast freely.
Is it not exactly what they promised?
It is exactly what they promised, and that's why functionally.
Isn't that the criteria for a 5?
It has to have wide sweeping impacts for me to give it a 5.
Ugh. Like evolution of combat.
Still remember giving the Shadow of Ashdale. Isn't that the one that I was like, you know what? This is tiny and insignificant, but I'm still giving it a 5.
But it had wide sweeping impacts because they used new...
How?
Because they used new plot devices with the light and whatnot to guide where to go.
You know, they changed the tutorial for the 15th time. You know?
Which
Ashdale, where we all start the game.
Which
still?
On its own is a good quest. It's a good beginner quest.
Oh, shit, Jane.
And, you know, that's why I didn't want to, you know, detract too much from this. Because, you know, functionally, it's a 4 out of 5. Or if you're rating on the Earth scale, it's a 5 out of 5.
What's that supposed to mean?
Just can't make you happy, can we, Shane?
Yeah.
Never enough with you, is it?
I am
always wanting more.
I am happy. I'm just saying this could have been taken one step further. But I don't know if that's in the scope of Ninja or not. I think it's a good update.
Shane's a samurai.
Doesn't sound like it.
I really do think it's a good update. I would have complained about it first if that was the problem.
I think you would still complain and find something.
You're right, and I will accept that you would have complained about it, and you would still be complaining about it. None of us would have gotten a word in.
If it was that big of a deal to me, you're exactly right.
I know I am.
That's why we have you on the show.
Keep you honest.
Exactly. I'm so pleased about that, but we'll talk about that after. Anyways, anybody else have anything with the Grand Exchange that you guys want to sound off on?
I think I'm good.
I think it was a good update. I think it's a good update. Is it enough to shake the community out of the slump?
that's the other big question.
That might be another question.
Well, they're going to address that head on next week. They're having a general Q&A.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. And I am holding back this time because I'm trying to learn from the summer, and we'll see what happens from there. But yeah, hopefully we find something out right next week. I think next week would be about the last week you could put it off.
I was going to say, you know, we should have started asking that question probably in the first week of June.
What?
Probably.
What question?
Oh, what comes after archaeology headlining update-wise?
Yeah.
Because there's been no roadmap, no month aheads. We're flying off into the dark here, which, I mean, I personally don't mind. But at the same time, it comes down to an issue of community management, but that's a topic for another day on that front.
I see.
But yeah, that's the Grand Exchange update. And of course, everyone reads Sirion's great article, What If RuneScape's UI Was Consistent? I realize I keep banging that drum, but I want everybody to really read the article.
Yeah, you can find it in your local bookstore right next to If Frogs Had Wings, They Wouldn't Bump Their Ass on Lily Pads. Right?
Otherwise known as informer.rsbnb.com. All right, let's move on to the other patch notes. Are you okay?
I think you broke Reed.
I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, Tanis and I have a good rapport that we've developed over the years.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Patch notes, mobile. Added a UI indicator if the action bar has been locked on the action bar settings cog. I had lots of fun with this one.
Did you? I don't usually tap it over and over again.
Yeah, I had no idea what the hell this was talking about and how you accessed it. It took me 20 minutes to figure out. I even Googled the answer. But as it turns out, if you long tap on the cog when you're in combat mode, that pulls up the option to lock your interface. And then it shows the appropriate icon there. And I mean, I always find that a bit of an annoyance on that.
I didn't realize you can move your interface. Like I haven't gotten.
Or sorry. Lock your action bar, not your interface. You can't move your interface on mobile.
I was probably getting you
excited there.
You did. I was like, oh wait.
Yeah, you'd be having good fun with that, wouldn't you?
Let's see. Yeah,
so, and see the problem with this one is that this little cog is so tiny below the other big combat button that you're very likely to miss it, which seemed to be a general problem with the way some of these mobile things work and just how actionable things are in game.
Yeah, if you can hit it anyway.
To be fair, whenever I'm on mobile, I never do combat. I'm not confident in how it runs yet to do so. I did try with like some low-level things in the past.
Yeah.
But nothing like I'm not going to go be like doing a giant slayer test unless
I did it like with Abyssal Demons and it was fine.
I've done a lot of slayer that has been fine with, but I think it would work fine. I just don't think I could like do the bosses and stuff like that. Maybe low level. I don't know, maybe God of War might be okay. like Gardner's Wine.
Give it a try. They've added.
So what? I'm supposed to hold press the cog button until it does something?
Yeah, until you get a right click option. Long press it.
It just goes straight to the menu.
Yeah, see, it's hard to press. Added location information when long pressing a lodestone in the home teleport UI, which effectively says that you're going to teleport to Ardoyan if you tap that lodestone. A device.
A quick teleport or a regular teleport. Let's see what this does.
They also added a device status panel up at the top of the minimap, which they have to have apparently in the Apple App Store. Shows your connection and your battery status on there. Yeah.
I mean, I see it on my phone, but I kind of feel like it's in a bad place, but that's just me.
Yeah, it's on right on top of the minimap, right?
Right, it's on top of the minimap on top left-hand corner. And, yeah. You know how I would check if how my battery is doing on my S8?
Multitask.
I very quickly swipe down.
Yeah.
And, oh, there it is, and let it go, and, oh, I'm back to where I am. I've been doing that for the last 5 years. Probably going to do that another many more years.
They also added an option to allow audio streaming when on mobile data. So if you don't want to download all the music and behind the scenes, you can just turn that aspect of it off.
Let's see.
Let's play audio using data.
Yeah. That's fine.
And now comes the bank.
Okay, I'm at the bank. So let's see. What's irking you?
Well,
can you not see it already?
Move things around, put the little stir-fry thing on top.
I feel that what has happened with this update that has been made, they say, to improve the display of the bank on mobile devices is a step backwards, because number one, yes, the items in the bank are bigger, but the tabs at the top of the bank are tinier, and there's now a scroll bar in the side inventory, which, I mean,
scroll bar.
Sure, you can have an inventory on the side, but we have too many scroll bars on this interface as it is right now, I feel. There should just be one central scroll bar in the central bank. And I'm not going to go through the issues again, how the presets and transfer buttons are still too tiny to be actionable as well. When I read this patch note, I was hoping that the presets and all the buttons to deposit what you're wearing, what's in your backpack and whatnot would have been made easier to tap, but they haven't been. So this is a net negative for the mobile bank, I feel.
Yeah, they had to put a scroll bar in your inventory because not enough space.
But there could be. Like, there's a scroll bar on, what was the resolution of the screenshot I sent you, Shane?
2800 like, by 1440, I believe.
Like, are they not scaling the UI depending on the resolution of the device?
I have no idea. Because, you know, I'm on an 8 Plus, which is a 1920 by 1080 display.
Did you try this on an iPad yet?
No. I don't have an iPad that's on my Apple ID and nor does Tanis.
Oh, let's see then. Let me download RS on my tablet and let's see how it looks.
Because, I mean, I think that'd be an interesting thing to try, so you can report back on that. But
yeah, I'll track you do that really quick.
Yeah,
but if that has the scroll bar, then like, cause, I mean, a phone, like, okay, it's small, I don't like it, and I will make that clear, but I understand it. But on something the size of an iPad, there shouldn't be a scroll bar anywhere in the bank interface except for, like, the main screen.
Yeah.
Take a few minutes.
And combine that with small buttons for close and presets and whatnot. And, you know, I'm going to say this again, and people might call this elitist, but if I was downloading this app and I didn't know what it was, this would be a 2 out of 5 or a 1 out of 5 rate because of the way this interface is. If they were to ship it in the state that it is currently at.
Yeah, it's...
You cannot ship something like this on the Apple side. I don't know how Android users feel about it, but this would not get by the people who use the iOS App Store.
Well, more importantly, we just need to be able to close out of stuff, right? I mean, it's still hard to... I mean, especially if you got big fingers.
How's the interface on old school mobile?
No idea.
That's a good question.
No idea. Someone should try that. And that might be an interesting thing for us to look at.
What was it?
Is there OS iOS?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's 100% out old school. So.
So I.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be an interesting thing to kind of just like test and try as a bit of a field test to see how they did their usability, right? But
yeah, you have to remember how to do things again, though. Be like learning a new game at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, it might be worth trying just to see. And I think that's what I'm going to write my Informer article this month on, about how we deal with this UI stuff and why it's such important that this be fixed before they publicly launch later this year. Anyways, moving on. Fix some issues with the Dungeoneering UI party member inspect feature on the mobile client. Also, some issues have been fixed with the summoning trade-in UI, where large numbers of sprites would appear at once, causing FPS drops.
Nice.
Now, on other fixes, the messaging dealt from each poison in Big Game Hunter now appears regardless of whether or not you skip the cutscene. And the amount of damage dealt by each poison type is now explained in the message, and each poison has a different text color. These, of course, being red, yellow, and blue.
I hope they're not colorblind.
Yeah. How would that work for you, Tanis? Red, yellow, and blue.
Blue and yellow would probably be tough.
But it is described, like it says blue. There. Your blue poison.
You got Alzheimer's text, you're okay. Yeah. If I get text, I'm okay.
Yeah, you can read what it says too, right? So that's what it means by explained. Which is good.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it's real good.
Char's training cave is now mentioned in the skill guide when reaching level 91 fire making. It wasn't before. Rainbow fish can now be used to feed animals in the player-owned farm, as long as they eat fish, that is. And the eat food ability will now consume bandages within the Soul Wars minigame.
That's good.
But what about Castle Wars?
That's a good question. That's a good question, because there's bandages there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aren't they the same item?
I think so.
Basically, yeah.
No, like, I feel like they lifted it directly from
Castle Wars.
Yeah. Updated banker dialogue to refer to their employers as a branch of the Bank of Gilanor instead of the Bank of RuneScape.
Bank of... For Roth?
Oh, no. It's a one-world bank?
Yes.
Ah, son of a bitch. That's how they got us, Shane. That's how they got us.
Fixed an issue where Zanuck's body
What happened to the Bank of Iraq?
They got taken over by the Bank of Eleanor.
Globalist.
Fixed an issue where...
Yeah, well, you know, Bank of Glenor now monopolize everything.
There you go.
So if you don't want to use the bank, or carry everything with you.
Yeah. I know some of us still refuse to use the money pouch.
It's me.
Me.
Oh, really?
You don't use a money pouch?
No.
I keep it in my bank.
I keep most of it in my bank.
boy, we're probably just setting people's pants on fire with this, aren't we?
I keep a little phone on you, man.
Never known you need bail money.
Technically, if you need bail money, you bring all your jewelry onto you.
Yeah, so you can pawn it.
Right when you're looting Best Buys and breaking windows at the courthouse, right, Tense?
Right.
Anyway.
Asset forfeiture, is that what it's called?
Fixed an issue where Zanuck's body might not appear during the death to the Dorgashin if the player lost dead Zanuck and returned to it in Lumbridge.
Oh, gee, spoiler. Like, I didn't know Zanuck died.
Then why is she back? Side note. Like, she's at the dig site. I thought she died, like, 5 times.
But she was also in Desperate Times.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I think it was explained there. I can't remember why, though.
She just won't die.
And finally, crafting molten glass will no longer state the wrong skill name in the Makex progress window. And that's it for the patch notes this week. Not too many there. Of course, the big one being the Grand Exchange updates. I think we can move on and talk about this other security matter. And this surprised everyone on Sunday, I think it was, and I was surprised that we didn't actually get a front page news post about this one.
I was surprised about that too.
Yeah, so there's a security bulletin put out by the JAGEX support service, I guess you could call them, stating that a number of players had received password reset emails overnight for both RS and Old School, and they were actively investigating the reason behind it. And they say, if you haven't submitted a password recovery request and you received a reset email, they want a screenshot of that email, including the subject line and everything associated with it, and then attach that screenshot and email tipoff@jagex.com so they can use it to help the investigation. And they say that we ask that in sending us your email confirmation, you do not upload screenshots to third-party sites such as Imgur and send us the links, and instead please forward a complete copy of the email as an attachment.
Wait, is it from their servers? Like, is this a legit password reset?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't get one. Did you?
Very much looks like it, but it's, I mean, it can't be, right? But it has the appearance, I mean.
I mean, it could be. Let me ask Adam if he'll forward his to me.
Oh, he got one?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, and, I mean, it's fairly easy to tell if an email is coming from, you know, the legit jagex.com, even if it says jagex.com in the email address. You just look at the cryptographic signatures for the message.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna do.
And
let's see. I don't think I had one.
And they say that while they're investigating it, they'd like to assure players that an email account and email on Jagex account secured with two-factor authentication will protect you the best, no matter the scenario. And that's all we have on this. The investigation has not concluded, and we don't have any more information on it. And I think I'd just like to take this opportunity to remind our listeners to enable two-factor authentication, because that is the most bulletproof way to protect yourself. So what that basically does is it takes logging into your account from just something you know, which is your password, to both something you know and something you have. So your password and then this code. They link, of course, to the Google Authenticator for that. There are other ones you can use, but Google is probably the easiest to set up on this. I assume we all use Authenticator, right?
Correct. Absolutely. That's why I didn't freak when I saw that. I'm like, yeah, well.
And the most
my phone.
And the most important part, of course, is to remember to also make sure that your email that you are using is secured with Authenticator as well. Because that way then they can't get both on that front. And, you know, there are ways, if you don't want to use your phone, that you can actually use Authenticator. One of my favorite solutions for it is, we've talked about it many times before on the show, it's called WinAuth. It's a open source authenticator that you can use on Windows.
What does that read?
They are legit password recovery emails.
Interesting.
Because the DKIM and SPF both pass.
So basically what that means for anybody wondering is that these are two cryptographic signatures that you can check to see if an email is legit.
Right. SPF is not really that it. Nobody cares who's listening. But basically, this was sent. These weren't fake emails. They were actual password reset requests that were made.
So that leaves two possibilities then. Either their internal system goofed and sent out emails.
You guys got hacked.
Or
hacked.
Someone somehow managed to bulk activate the password reset emails and send it to a bunch of people.
You know what this basically means? Somebody did the missile alert test thingy. Okay. Hey, Reed.
Nah.
I got bad news for you.
What's the bad news?
What's that, good buddy?
So it took me all this time to finally get my tablet up to download RS and do all that fun thing. The scroll bar in the inventory is still there.
All right. Well, that's bad, because it's big enough that it shouldn't be there.
And this is like a 9-inch-plus tablet, right?
Yeah. I don't remember what Samsung tablet this one is. 1, 2, 3. Oh, shoot. Let me see. Go away.
I don't know how I feel about that.
4, 6, 7. Yeah, the last row on my tablet, it's cut off.
And this is, of course, Android too. So, all right.
I mean, it's a decent sized tablet.
Yeah.
I mean,
what's the name
old.
Of it?
Sam, I don't remember which number this one is.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Well, that's kind of unsettling on that front. And
let's see, what happens if I do?
In regards to the account security, I'll just say, you know, everybody, make sure you got a very secure password. And that you have Authenticator enabled on your RuneScape account. And we'll have links in the show notes to this support article. And in there, you can click the link to set up Authenticator. So fingers crossed that nothing went too horribly wrong inside Jagex on this front. All right. You guys ready for an update on the World Cup of Quests?
What is this?
Yes.
So, you know, last week we left off on not knowing what one was going to be next, but on June 13th, or Saturday, they posted the next one, and this was Monkey Madness versus River of Blood. 1,148 people voted, and Monkey Madness won 57.3% to 42.7%. I'm happy with that. How do you guys feel?
So what is this anyway?
It's just basically a social media campaign to gauge social media followers of Jagex about what their favorite quests are.
I have nightmares among him. I remember doing Monkey Madness.
Yeah, me too.
That was we did it when we were like in mid-level, so we, you know, it wasn't a breeze. I mean, it was literally the first quest that we all did where we actually had to use range. Because all this time, for the past, you know, 5 years, everyone was all about melee.
Took like a million tries to get out of that.
I think I did it at like level 70-ish.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Whereas on the other hand, River of Blood was, I think it was, what number was it in the Plague series? Not the Plague series, the Myrec series. Vampire. That was the last one.
It's the last Vampire.
For a Gnome Story arc, it's...
I always get the Lord of Vampirium and River of Blood confused which one is last, but it's River of Blood.
Hey, Shane.
Yeah?
Fun little fact about Monkey Madness. One of your former moderators, Lance, the only reason he passed Monkey Madness at all was because, hey, you know, that boss is really hard. Take some of my sharks. And like, I gave him all my sharks. He literally said, like, your sharks literally saved me. I was like, yeah, I did my job.
I remember that.
Easter egg.
Which one would you have voted for, Monkey Madness or River of Blood?
Monkey
Refresh,
Madness.
Which one was River of Blood?
It was the last one in the Myrec series.
We fought fought the right boss and everything else?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was by that bridge thingy over.
It was on top of the castle. South.
Oh, it's on top of the castle?
Yeah, that's where the boss fight was.
You sure that wasn't Vampirium?
No, not Vampirium.
I'm pretty sure it was up there on top.
I don't recall that.
Okay. The next one following that was initiated on June 17th was Children of Ma versus the Light Within. And this one is still running as of the time of recording. What's your guys' guess as to who's winning, Children of Ma or the Light Within?
Children of Ma, because the Light Within I refuse to acknowledge as the finale of the Elf Quest or the Elf storyline.
No, it wasn't the finale of it. It was kind of an offshoot. I wouldn't call it the finale of it. I think Plague's End is...
It's like Roving Elves wasn't really part of it.
Exactly. That's the way I view the Light Within.
Okay.
But Children of Ma is winning 59-41. Which makes sense, because, I mean, Zaros, Elder God, versus Saren offshoot quest after Plague's End. So.
Eliminated already, though.
Crappy puzzle at the end of it, too.
What was that? What was eliminated?
Desert Treasure.
Yeah, Desert Treasure was the first one eliminated.
Yeah, that's a damn disgrace.
I agree.
They put it up against what again?
The World Wakes.
Yeah, come on. You can't put your number one and two seeds against each other in, like, a bracket. That's not how that works.
I like the World Wakes.
Better than Desert Treasure?
I liked it.
Get out.
Or sorry, not The World Wakes, while Gothic Sleeps.
Oh, yeah, that didn't sound right. Yeah, you can't put your one and two seeds against each other in the first round.
The World Wakes went up against Recipe for Disaster and beat Recipe for Disaster.
What?
Yeah.
You kidding?
Nope.
Huh. I mean, Recipe for Disaster was basically like, what, 8 small quests rolled into one.
And it was the 100th quest.
Yes.
And it was a pain in the ass.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like it was, but it definitely was a quest that took me a while to finish everything.
It was a quester's quest. And that's why I liked it.
And the best part is they actually did something about the Wise Old Man. Ba-dum-psh.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yes, they broke the fourth wall.
And you know, other ones, I still can't believe that Plague's End lost to Ritual of the Majorat.
I can.
All right. And, yeah. And it wasn't even close for Well Gothic Sleeps versus Desert Treasure. It was 68.1 to 31.9.
Damn kids.
Yeah. Be interesting to pull, you know, people who started Plague in 04 and see how they remember them.
See, I probably would have went with Desert Treasure against Walk Out the Sleep, because that was just really long.
It was also the first Grandmaster quest.
Yeah, like, they're both solid. You don't put those I have more of an issue with the way the bracket was designed for that than for like which one of them won, because it's not a fair comparison either way.
Right. All right. Well, this is going to be going on for a while because, you know, we're just about to finish the first round after the next one goes up. And I think we've been going for 2.5 weeks now on this. So we'll be going for probably another 2 weeks after this to kind of just eliminate all the quests and get to one final victor on that. So, alrighty. And that's the World Cup of Quests for this week. And, you know, we were there for all these quests here at RSBNB Update because, you know, it's 15 years ago on June 12th.
15 years.
That we published the first episode. And you guys know what that episode was, right?
What?
That update was the seeds and farming equipment update. Yeah. It just worked out like that. We didn't plan it that way. And, you know, we've been through so many people on this show, so many co-hosts, that was the monthly bit for this month, was the Legends of RSBNB Update. I just put Trekkie's segment out today on that. We got three more to follow. Earth is up next. His will be going out on Sunday. And then we have two more after that. I think you guys can probably guess who the last two will be on that. But, you know, I go back to the very beginning of this, and I don't think anybody at the time really understood what we were doing or what an impact this would have and how long this would be going to in terms of this podcast. And you yourself said it, Tanis, is that the first episode you ever listened to was with these two on here as the co-hosts. And, you know, that kind of roped you in, didn't it?
Yeah. Yep. And it's hard to believe it was that long ago. That's the crazy part.
No. I'm stopping you right there. That was last year.
It was forever. Dude, you were in high school. I remember you talking about like
what?
Like equipment and stuff. Yes, dude. That had been a long time ago.
Oh god, I got another year. What year?
Shit. Birthright of the Dwarves was... Let's see, what year was that released? 2013. October 2013.
So that was my freshman year of college.
Okay. My God. It was close.
Hey, you're only a couple months off.
Are you serious? That was 7 years ago?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, fun little mini Easter egg for you, Shane.
Yeah.
My hair, it's gray.
It's really hot.
My hair's been gray for years
now. My back hurts.
I hear you.
Actually, anyways, if we're on this topic, you know how you can tell you've all grown up? You want to know how, Shane?
How?
You no longer have a left knee and a right knee. You have a good knee and a bad knee.
True.
Anyways, you know, in preparation for all this anniversary stuff, I went back and, you know, had a listen to some of those episodes. And, you know, the recording quality was not where it was today, obviously. And the show was a lot less prepared. It still had a structure to it, but it was a lot less prepared, let's just say.
Feel like you're calling me out.
No, I'm not calling you out. I'm talking about the Brad Woodward and Pika era. Yeah.
It was also a lot shorter, too.
It was a lot shorter. It was a lot shorter.
Yes. I remember there was a time Shane and I would try to ensure that we finished the podcast in an hour. Then, after I resigned and Reed took over, that went out the door hella quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that my fault?
No, it's not your fault. We've determined it's mine.
Oh, yeah. Here's a little mini Easter egg that just popped into my head. So the very first episode that you and Reed decided to start doing the podcast after me, I was listening to it. Right. And one of the questions I sent to you was, how many times can Reed beep in an episode? You said 5. Sad funny part was, as I was listening to it, I said, Shane, you missed 2. And you're like,
Yeah. And, you know, I would have loved to done an episode here where we got all of the legends on for this one, but timing and RS was, of course, an issue, and we needed to do it at this time. That would have been Brad Woodward, Chief Snake, Trekkie, Earth, and Paul. And, you know, with that, I just want to talk a bit about the time each of you guys had on the show. Trekkie, you were 2012 to 2015, and this is in the Legends segment, which Patreons can find. We'll talk more about that in just a bit. But you oversaw the biggest changes to RS in history, I think. You had ports. You had the evolution of combat. You had RuneScape 3. You had the start of the Sixth Age. You had the end of the Plague series. And we could go on and on and on, but there were just so many big seismic shifting updates between 2012 and 2015 that, you know, looking back on it, how does it make you feel that you were there for those?
I actually remember when the RS 3 beta came out, or what was it called back the way in the day?
RuneScape HD before that.
I think it was just RS2 at the time. Because regular RuneScape was what we call RuneScape Classic. Anyway, I remember during the beta, and I remember the most infamous thing was the force field around Falador, because it was invisible force field around Falador that restricted your movement all over the place. And I remember during the beta when they released some of the dragon items, if you were to wear a dragon med, it made your head shrunk.
Wait, are you talking about RS3 beta?
No, this is between RS Classic and then RS2.
Oh, the RS2 one. Okay, fair enough.
Yes. So your head shrunk.
I was wondering how that fit into the 2012-2015 era, but we'll allow it.
That's I'm old school, girl.
Yeah, and, you know...
And what was the one thing I remember from the beta? Oh, yeah, I actually was... I wasn't part of it, but I do remember the most infamous party had Halloween rare duplication.
Yeah, those were the days. I wish the podcast was running back when RS2 started. Yeah. And, you know,
I took some breaks here and there.
Yeah, and so many of those updates that came out between 2012 and 2015, I think in our decade of RS, we found those as the biggest years, and that's what we did at the start of the... start of the year for the monthly bit, so a decade of RuneScape.
Wait, was I on that?
Yeah, you were. It was you and David.
That was this year?
Yeah.
Worse still.
Hello?
Still 2012. Or 2012. I wish it was 2012. It's 2020.
I mean, the Mayans said the world was going to end in 2012.
There was a delay. Somebody misplaced a coffee table on the glyphs. I don't know.
Yeah. But fast forwarding 2015, you did the show for 3 years. Then Reed took over. Earth took over here for all of 2015. And I don't know. What do you remember about that year? I remember you burning out about halfway through it, and we had to recalibrate.
That's what I remember. I burned out really quick.
But I think, you know, after that, when you came back last year, and then when you came back this year for archaeology and you're still back, I think you've come back stronger than you were before.
Mm-hmm. I'd say so.
What would you take away from that year?
All right, that sounds like a Beyonce song. Stronger.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Stronger. Yeah, there you go.
And that's Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, well,
that's not what I was going for, but okay.
I don't think that's close.
That's not what I was going for. But what would you say was? What's the biggest thing you remember from 2015? And we're kind of foreshadowing here to your legends episode, which isn't recorded yet, but will be.
I really could not tell you what I remember.
Right, because 2015 was kind of a...
Did anything happen?
On my list, I got Rune Labs, Tuska, Raids, and Darkscape.
Darkscape.
Oh. Yeah, nothing happened.
The Light Within happened.
Oh, no, you're missing the best part.
What's that?
Week after week, just giving you enormous truckloads of shit. It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's what I remember.
It was a beautiful thing to watch or to listen to.
And you did it in a way that wasn't destructive.
Mm-hmm. But I called you out on your shit every single time.
And that's what I said. That's the number one thing you're good at, is keeping me honest when it comes to the show. And
everything else.
Okay, fair enough. And that's why earlier in the show you said, yeah, you're right. If this really was bothering you that much, you would have complained about it from the very beginning and you would not have stopped. And, you know, I agree with that assessment on that. Let's go to Tanis. What do you think of the time you've been on the show? You've been here since what? 2018, I think. Or 2017? Have you been hosting? Yeah, or 2018? I forget which.
Yeah.
I think it was 2018.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. You're trying to short me a year? What? You trying to take off my pension, Shane?
No.
Like, what's going on? Okay.
You're getting paid.
So now I owe you.
Bison.
No. Yeah,
no,
it was 2018.
I remember. So we've had. So this has been. It's been crazy. Like sometimes we.
It's been a roller coaster for us.
Well, I mean, sometimes we're hit with just a tidal wave of news and stuff to cover, and then sometimes we're like stuck in the desert, like crawling, trying to get a show together.
Yeah. And this is how it was last fall. Is we were like, okay, we might need to start taking some of our monthly bit topic ideas that we had and converting them into actual podcast segments.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like I've got to experience a lot of different...
You were there for Menafos. Like you weren't, the full co-host at the time, but you were there for Menafos, and...
I had Menafos and Shattered Worlds, so I had a fun little, what was it, like a little quarter there.
Yeah, that was in 2017, and then 2018 you started full-time, and I think that's the This Is RuneScape 3 era.
What?
Yes.
Safe Cracking. Farm.
Safe Cracking.
Anachronia. Yeah. The Needle Skips. 120 Farming, 120 Herblore, Archaeology. And everything that's followed since then. And perhaps we're just remembering it because it's more vivid and it's closer. But do you guys, and here's the thing, comparing now to 2012 to 2015 and 2015 for Earth here, do you guys feel that the stature of RuneScape updates has become grander over the years?
I think it's been kind of an up and down.
All right.
It seems like they might be grander, but they're
I think it's because the scale of the game is bigger now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right.
Monkey Madness, Desert Treasure were... like huge, but now like they would be a sort of an average sized quest, no?
Yeah, that's right. They were master sized quests. Now we have Grandmaster. And you know, there's that issue we keep dancing around. And they're trying to get Maude Warden on the show next week. We're not getting Maude Warden on the show next week, I wish. But
let's say.
On the live stream, I'm wondering if they're going to actually come out and say, this is the new update style that we've been having.
Probably what I am afraid of is we get an announcement next week that, oh, hey, guys, don't worry. We got updates coming. There will be a double XP weekend in July. That's what I'm afraid of, and I'm telling you, it's I give it a 70% chance of happening.
We've already had two this year, though.
Yeah, we get one a quarter. Were we in the summer quarter yet? Or did we get our summer one?
3 days.
So July, Shane.
Aye. All right. Well, that's...
I mean, but I feel like there should be something for July, though. Traditionally, July always has a big release.
Yeah. And, you know, this is... and I might be remembering badly here, but did we, back in the day in 2012 and through 2015, both of you guys here ever have this potentially crisis where there was no RS updates to talk about?
We had a couple. You and me had a couple.
Yeah.
I mean, I burned out by July, so...
I mean, basically with those, did we just talked a little bit of general or episodes which much shorter. I think we've just decided to fill it up with more tech news at the time.
Yeah.
And basically did some speculation. Yeah. I think the most famous one was there was a Quest that was supposed to come out, and then, well, they shelved it for another week because they needed more time. So we're like, well, we had no Quest to talk about, do we, Shane? Nope. All right. How's life? Life's fine. All right. Bye, everyone. Peace out. Much love. Peace, Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, you forgot. Star Trek references.
Yes. We have had a lot of those over the years.
Okay. They were plentiful. One, why would you bring this up when we're almost like halfway through the show and he hasn't said a dang thing about Star Trek?
I'm just, that's what I remember. I don't know.
Anyways, you know, this is all wound up into, you know, various different eras for the show and whatnot, and I honestly quite like what we're doing right now. I think the listeners do. Tanis, you obviously do because you're still here. And I think this is the way that I've always wanted to do RSBNB update, that we're doing it right now. Because does it ever feel like it's a burden for you to produce content for the show? Because, you know, we got that entire producer's chat now.
Yeah, no, I just think it's when you consume so much kind of like news and headlines, and you kind of do that naturally anyway, like this always kind of felt like an extension of that. I feel like when it comes to on a show level, like we got it, you know, each week we try to highlight the changes and stuff to happen. But sometimes there is an ebb and a flow to that. And I've always kind of just tried to go with that flow. I'm trying something new this time. Like I'm not getting super riled up for the lack of updates, although the community is. Normally I'd be right there with them. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. And you know, it's like a question we're going to have to answer after or ask next week. So.
Right. But so, like, we're in this kind of, like, I feel like we're kind of in this lull right now. But luckily for us, we've had, I mean, archaeology was the gift that just kept on giving. And then 15-year anniversary this month, yeah. I mean. And we have other stuff with for our Patreons. We've got our Informer articles. So there's always something going on, and it always keeps me going so that I don't get just where you don't want to do something.
Yeah,
you
know? And the good thing about most of our articles in this day and age is we can turn those into discussion topics if we need to. And I know Sirion would love to come on the show and talk about his most recent one. Again. Like, he's just got two in a row, that guy. This month is called Making Agility Great Again. And yours, this month was, or last month was, the player advocacy groups. So,
yeah.
I mean, and see, that's the thing. And I just want to pivot this back to the 2012 to 2015 era for the both of you guys. It was different back then because it was basically you and me doing the show each week, and there was no external input from other people, was there?
Well, were you and me?
Yeah, week to week. It was just you and me. In the case of you tracking New Earth. And I think it's better the way we do it now, honestly. So I'm happy with that. But that's just...
I think it's definitely better produced because, you know, not going to lie, I didn't realize you told me earlier that I was on the show tonight, and I don't feel ill-prepared for it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you played the update this week, and there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize it was... You told me about it days ago, and I was like, oh, that's days from now. I'll work on it. And then I'm realizing now it's Thursday. But it's just, like, the work is done. Like, and it's done well and efficiently. I did not have to do anything but, you know, log in, check out the update.
Yeah, and,
before,
you know...
Before I felt... Like, I had to do a lot more. I don't even remember what, but...
Yeah. Our discussion on the UI of the Grand Exchange was done in the producer's chat earlier this week between Sirion, myself, and I think the RR man on that about the UI. Diana also chimed in on that. And, you know, it came down to just, you know, kind of sorting that all out and... You, Earth, brought me the mobile bank scroll bar issue earlier this week, and yeah, we definitely had to bring that in the show. So
yeah,
it's very much a combined effort.
I logged in one morning just to check it out, because I got a new phone, more on that later, but I was like, this is awful, what?
Yeah. All right, well, 15 years of update, and the legend segments on Patreon keep coming, and we're going to talk about that right now. But before that, I'll just thank our Patreon supporters for this episode, and that's Brock H., Cameron, Cass, CGB900, Christian S., Diana, Jade Gizmo, James W., Jade W., Jason S., Joe M., John P., Kyle, Mr. Ling, Rastafa, Ricky A., The Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V., Zant, and Zaz, thank you all of you for your support. It truly does mean the world to us as we push on into our 15-year anniversary. And, you know, we're doing movie night here at RSBNB, and that poll is now up. If you're a Patreon member, any tier, you can go in and vote on that. Choices this month are Arrival, Austin Powers and Gold Member, The Imitation Game, and Rocky IV. Bunch of choices there that you can select. And if any of this all sounds interesting to you, just head on over to patreon.com/RSBNB and sign up there. We have a number of tiers to choose from. For as little as $1 a month, you get access to the entire back catalog of monthly bits, of course, including the Legends specials, and you get a mention in our show notes. For $3 a month, you'll get a special VIP rank on Discord and access to high-quality stereo versions of the show. And for $5 a month, you'll get a shout-out each and every week, and you'll gain exclusive access to the clips that we used to make the clip show at the end of the year. So all of that and more can be found at patreon.com/RSBNB. And of course, we do our movie night each month, we do our round table each and every month, and of course, Inside Update, which... By the time you're hearing this, there will be a post detailing 15 years of RSBNB Update exclusive to Patreons. And, of course, the monthly bit, which this month is the Legends of RSBNB Update. So if all this sounds interesting to you or you just want to support the podcast, just visit patreon.com/RSBNB. Thank you so much, everyone, for supporting through all the years.
After all these years, I've never gotten a raise. Just keep that in mind if you're thinking about it. All the happiness that I deliver.
Wait, Reed. You got paid?
No. Only in the sorrow.
Youth, you guys will never get that reference.
Shut up, old man.
I am old. I'm an uncle now.
Nice. All right.
I've been an uncle. Jeez, Shane.
Let's move on to questions. We got an audio question to open up with from the RR Man, and we'll give that a listen right about now.
Hey, hey, it's the RR Man here. How's it going? Sorry about the audio quality in advance, because I'm not at my home base. Anyway, I've got a couple quick questions for you. Hopefully, I won't get Tannis too riled up, but just for a laugh, I was wondering if you could buff one thing in the game, it could be a skill or activity, you know, anything that gives XP by 20%, but you had to nerf something by 20%, what would you pick? Now, this is a bit of fun, but seriously, maybe there's something in the game which really needs a, you know, that little boost, and then something else that seriously could use a debuff, I guess you'd say. Also, I like to ask this question, I've done it a few times over the years, but what are your current TV shows and or movies you've been watching? Maybe because of the last few months, what's something you rewatched? That's one of your classics. And at the moment, I'm currently just watching a bit of Supernatural. Yeah, hey, it's low budget and it's a bit cheesy from time to time, but there's actually some quite good lore in those episodes, even though it's gone on for like what's 16 seasons now. I'm only halfway through, but yeah, I don't know, it's enjoyable, it's good for a bit of you know, playing along while doing some grinding on the old RuneScape. Thanks a lot, guys, keep up the great work, and can't wait to hear more about archaeology. You've been doing great episodes on that. Peace out.
Yeah, I really like our archaeology content too. Stormguard was really fun next week, and Everlight will be the next lore episode that we do. But let's dive into this question. I think I'm going to let Tanis have at this first, since he was singled out by the RR man.
I'm going to surprise you. Probably surprise him too. Okay, you ready for this, Shane?
Yes.
I'm not.
And I have my reasons, actually. I talked to a very knowledgeable person that I trust, and they recently started a Iron Man, so they've had to go through some things that I don't know, they told me about. So here, long story short, let's take 20% off the upper tier of safecracking. It's too powerful.
Yep, I agree.
Like I said, someone started an Iron Man and literally showed me what they had done in a very short amount of time. Now, granted, this person's a badass skiller anyway, but, yeah, it was a little ridiculous. Now I'm going to break your heart because I want to add that 20% to Hunter, which shouldn't have been nerfed in the first place. How about that?
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. That's fine. Yeah, I'm going to go the same thing and say that the top tier of safe cracking definitely needs to be brought down as well. I know Thieves, who is often in our friends chat, has said that, you know, it just completely destroys the thieving meta, and it makes it so that safe cracking is really the only thing that you want to be doing, which isn't good when it comes to game design. You want the player to have choice and have them make sacrifices in order to buff various aspects of it. So I'll agree with you on safe cracking there. And for things that should be buffed, I'd say woodcutting, but not just, you know, a general 20% flat XP buff on the top tiers. I'd say let's have a new training method that isn't competitive and take what we've learned from mining and smithing and archaeology and apply it to woodcutting. Mm. So that's what mine
is. Woodcutting
would be
competitive anymore?
That would
yes,
be cool.
It is.
Where?
Elder trees, yew trees, crystal
I've
trees.
I've never seen anyone at an elder tree.
Okay. Well, they are competitive in the same way because all the logs work the same all the way up.
Hmm.
Sure.
What would you do, Earth?
I would increase, it's an oldie, but and it's fallen out of favor. I would buff the Abyssal Whip.
Hmm.
20%. Jeez. Take the 20% away from herb farm yields.
Oh.
You're going right after me, aren't you? That's funny. That's funny, and that wasn't even XP based.
No.
All right. And, you know, I will agree that I think we can get the whip up to level 85 now, right? Tier 85?
I have the vine whip. Like, I recently cleaned up my bank, and it's the one weapon I can't bring myself to get rid of. Cause it just,
what, the whip?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you attach a vinyl whip to it?
Yeah.
But there's also a lava whip.
Yes.
At 85.
How do you get that?
It's an item from the wilderness. It is...
It's the worm spike from the wealthy worm.
The spike, yeah. Spike.
Tradable?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
How many dollars it is?
Current price says 8.5 mil.
That's not terrible.
Nah. Okay. I had to buy one so I could look like Indiana Jones before.
Nice.
And it's augmentable, of course, being a tier 85 weapon.
It's got a special on it, too.
Yeah, it does. Does that work on NPCs or only players?
It works differently for stun NPCs.
We'll stun and bite NPCs for 6 seconds. When you use on a player, it will drag them adjacent tile near the user.
Nice.
And it says it will work over blocked terrain, such as a pool of water.
Yep, I always liked a little lava whip.
Yeah.
Get over here.
And, you know, I mean, it doesn't look like the standard Abyssal whip, but just, you're very right, Tannis, it makes it look like an Indiana Jones-style whip, almost.
Yeah, it only is better, because I didn't have a lot of choices.
Yeah. All right. Trekkie?
God, what I buff? I would, you know, for all the mini games where they give you tickets or whatnot, I would buff that by 20% if you win. And like, kind of maybe instead of doing my tickets, it's a point system. So like, you win, you get X amount of points if you do very well. Like your top
That's already in game 10, already.
Like Castle Wars and whatnot.
Yeah, all the mini games, Staler. Yeah. And the minigame Spotlight that buffs them.
I haven't done any of those in a long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
That came in 2015.
Yeah, it shows you how many times I went back to Castle Wars to try and get the pseudo outfit for my home.
Yeah, and you know, if anybody actually wants to play minigames, there's actually a really good way of doing it. I'd recommend everybody join Clan Quest, because every weekend there's minigame hosted events that you can join, and you know, we make use of the Spotlight, and it's actually a really good community event if you need to go do Soul Wars or Pest Control and you can't get enough people for it on its own. So
it feels like 2009 again, when you could actually get events. That was me coming back most recently, like that.
Okay, well, really, that's the case. Oh, my bad.
No, that's fine. It's
really
a good
made me want to come back and stay, was I felt that the community had come back. So
yeah.
That's
our Stealing Creation one was so fun, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Soul Wars one 2 weeks ago.
Oh, man. That's my favorite minigame.
Yeah, we even do Trouble Brewing. I like Trouble
that
Brewing.
That's my favorite.
People hate it, but I like it. I wonder what we're doing this weekend. Do we know?
It's posted, my dude.
Yeah, I gotta find that post. I don't know where it is. We'll have to ask Questscaping about that. But perfect reason for people to join Clan Quest. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. For anybody listening, just guessed in the clan chat. Clan Quest, see if you like us.
I'd rather cut my wrist with a dull wooden spoon.
Please don't say that about this organization that Earth and I are a part of. It's really fun. Just guest in the clan chat, and if you want to join, ask one of the keen people for how to do that. All right, TV shows? I like when our man asks this. I'm not watching anything right now, but I'll let you guys go first. Let's go with you first, Earth. I mean, I think I remember last time you were on, you had that pick of the week that was your TV show, but I don't know if you want to say that's what you've
TV
been
show was it?
The Tiger King.
Oh my god,
that was mine.
That was yours. Okay,
and then I watched it like the next day in one sitting.
And it was a good.
Oh, that one was good. I missed that part of quarantine.
Yes, well, it was a simpler time.
It was. Now we're in the race riot part of it.
Go back to Joe Exotic.
I mean, as far as TV shows, Gossip Girl, always, always good. I won't steal Shane's thunder. So we all know what he's going to say. Letterkenny's pretty good. Arrested Development is great. Archer.
Yeah, and you know, at that point, I feel like I'm being summoned to say that if anybody hasn't already, Star Trek Picard. That was good, wasn't it, Tannis and Trekkie?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I mean, dude, I don't know. Do you ever get tired? Like, sometimes you look on YouTube and it's just people just shitting on everything that you like, and you're like,
yeah.
What the hell, man? This was, yeah, it's not perfect. Okay.
I enjoyed
it. But it was Picard, right? Like, I liked it. I really liked it.
I enjoyed it.
You watch that one yet, Earth?
No.
You should.
It's worth it. It's decent. It's good. I enjoyed it.
My favorite part about that is I predicted how the series was going to end as soon as I saw the opening scene. But we're not going to spoil that.
Is the series over?
First season is over.
Okay, well, here in America, we call it seasons and season finales.
Yeah, I said season finale. Who said series?
You said series.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say series.
You are the only one that was talking.
Sorry, season finale of it. But yeah, that's definitely a good one. If you like the Next Generation stuff, this is the one to watch. If maybe Discovery and the Spore Drive was a bit too much for you. Picard has been renewed for season 2. We're waiting for Discovery season 3 to start at some point. That one should be good. But those are my really only two TV shows I've watched this year. I don't watch much TV per se anymore. So, how about you, Tannis?
Like, as for shows I would recommend that I watched this year, I mean, there's really been, like, I don't actually watch a lot of TV, but, as for, like, this year, and I'm going to count, I know this came out right before, but we need more good things to happen in 2020, so I'm going to put this in 2020. The Mandalorian is still badass. I love it. I can't wait for season 2, so I've watched...
That's when the memes will start up again, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's awesome. My family got me a shirt for my birthday last weekend. It was a Baby Yoda. I was totally psyched.
I want one. I want one. Period. I want one. However, anyone that is in the market is totally ugly. There was a one person who made one for herself, and I totally wanted to steal it. I literally want to run up to her house, find it, and steal it.
Yeah.
I really like that one. It was so nice. I was like, I saw the first episode. I was like, I want one now.
I would say that one. And I actually watched The Witcher twice, the whole season.
I haven't watched it yet.
It's on my to-do list. Yeah, if you're a fan of the games, man, I played all three. It's so good. And then, yeah, like The Tiger King. That's probably the three biggest things. I mean, right now I'm kind of watching a little bit of the Clone Wars last season. But it's about it.
If you haven't watched Tiger King, you need to get a big old bottle of wine.
Yes.
Just sit down, block off your whole evening, and drink straight from the bottle.
I assume this is what Tannis was talking about, coffee time and wine time, right?
And you feel much better. But you get to feel better about yourself the whole time.
Yeah.
It's encouraging.
And Trekkie, what would you recommend everyone watch if... Or what have you been watching?
So on Netflix, they've... am I allowed to advertise them or no?
Yeah.
Netflix, I've been at the release Avatar The Last Airbender again, so I've been watching my old childhood.
That was a pick of the week from Sirion a couple weeks ago.
Yes. A lot of people hated it. I was like, I enjoyed it. And it annoyed me a lot when people on RSBNB back in the time when it was, you know, the big thing at the time, like Alex and everyone was like, this is a stupid show. I was like, but fine.
Just out him.
He still plays RS, by the way.
Yeah, so.
All right.
And interestingly enough, I was actually on Disney Plus. I've been watching all the old X-Men cartoons back in the 90s.
Hell yeah. Nice. Isn't Disney Plus great for that? Like, I found Gargoyles on there from the 90s.
Nice. Gargoyles.
It's incredible.
You know, there was something about how they made TV and movies back in the 90s. I feel.
They always make sure to, like, break things off specifically just so they have space for commercials.
Well, not just that, but just in general, it seemed like a better quality. Maybe that's just me and the way I view
things. Well, you're old.
Shane, I think you're onto something. I have swore up and down for years that the animation was different, and no one believes me. And I'm like, it's different. There's something different about it.
Yes, we were kids, and you know, a lot of the old cartoons and TV shows back in the day, they taught you morals and, like, you know,
yes,
did it in a fun way.
That's it.
Power Rangers tells you, you know, be good to each other in high school and, you know, watch yourself, believe in yourself, and, you know, even one day you'll be awesome. Shane hates
Captain Planet.
Shane probably hates Captain Planet. Yeah, he actually does.
Confirmed.
Yeah, multiple times. But then again, Shane doesn't care about the environment anyway. And, you know, what was the other reading? I watched Reading Rainbow when I was a kid. I watched Bill Nye when I was a kid.
Before he went off the deep end.
We had Mr. Wizard a little bit older.
There was, like, back in the day, there was, like, a whole bunch of, like, dinosaur cartoons that I was trying to catch, but I couldn't catch it. I have cable.
And it's a question, is it just the memory, or was it actually different in quality?
I think it was different.
I say that we shoot down a lot of cartoons now because we see it and we just don't like the art. That's what I usually see when I'm, like, When Benny was growing up and I watched some of the cartoons that he's watching, and now my niece and nephews are watching cartoons on Netflix. I was like, it's something about the art that's just like, they love it, they enjoy it, fine. But I'm looking at the art and I'm like, I can't stand the art. But then, you know, if you tell me, and I think it's just the audience now has changed.
Yeah.
Dude, it's almost like they're like, these are graphic comic, like the cartoons, the animation, it's almost like it's like a graphic novel type of style versus, I feel like the shows that we used to watch back then was literally a TV show. It was like a TV show that was drawn out. You know what I mean? Like you know how anime stuff, like, you'll, there's a person in front and they're not moving, but everything in the back is moving.
All the Scooby Doo ones.
Yeah, like that's. Yeah, it's.
It's like how you can always. It's like how you can always tell, like, oh, they're gonna use that barrel. Why? The color of the barrel is different.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, the question about TV shows in the modern era has turned to old style cartoons, and I think that'd be an interesting thing to discuss and see what more people have to say about on that. So, anybody, listeners, want to chime in, go for it. And this is, you know, for all intents and purposes, a classic RSBNB update, because this is how it used to be. It used to be getting these listener questions in and then going off on these big, big rabbit holes like that. So, thank you, Mr. RR Man, for sending in the questions. If you guys want to send your own in, email them to questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a DM on Twitter @rsbnb. And of course, you can always post on the forums at update.rsbnb.com/ask. So, moving into tech news this week, Apple is facing two antitrust probes in the European Union. And, you know, this relates to the App Store and the Apple Pay system. And, you know, it goes back all the way to when Spotify started to offer subscriptions on the Apple ecosystem in that, you know, Apple said, hey, we want 30% of all the money that you raise on this. And many people, you know, have, especially smaller developers, have had similar problems with Apple on that. And as a result of this, the European Commission has opened formal investigations to assess whether these rules violate EU competition rules in relation to the app, in-app purchase system. And the other one is in the way that Apple Pay is only allowed to be integrated on iPhones and iPads if people want to use that on their website. But this action that was being taken in the EU all came to an head this week when one of the new email clients that was up and coming, an email client called Hey, where people can pay $99 a year for effectively having a filtering of their inbox. Think of it as kind of like Google Inbox, but on steroids. This app developer had their email app removed from the App Store because they didn't want to make the changes that Apple wanted them to make so that Apple wouldn't get a cut of their sales. In particular, Hey had it set up so you'd purchase a subscription on their website, and Apple said, no, no, no. If you want to be on our App Store, you have to have them purchase within the app, and we're going to take a cut of that. And Hey said no, and they got terminated off the App Store for this very reason of what's being discussed in these antitrust probes. And you know, Tanis, we've talked about this time and time again. It always seems to be Amazon, Facebook, and Google that get caught up in the crosshairs, and never Apple. But lo and behold, here, it seems that somebody's actually finally paying attention to this, and something is being done on this manner that, you know, if you're an app developer, this can hurt you, because Google and Facebook and the like don't need to worry about this. So all in all, if these things go forward and get a thorough investigation, and we figure out what exactly is going on with this, hopefully something good will come for the end user on this.
Well, at least somewhere has good regulation. That's good.
Yeah, and it's not so much a and it's not so much a regulation about making sure that, you know, they comply. It's just about ensuring that the practices aren't anti-competitive.
Right, but that would never happen.
Right, because, you know, I think we all agree that things are being done by Apple, and I think Apple's perhaps the biggest offender on this. That is effectively what Microsoft did in the 1990s with Internet Explorer, except it's being done on the iOS devices at this time.
Yeah, and, I mean, I don't know if that's the best strategy. I mean, it's not like there aren't other... it's not like there isn't other competitors that are competent. You know what I mean? Like,
you can get an Android
device
if you want.
It's an actual choice. Now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You have choice.
But it's a question of, do you have choice within the platform on that? And, you know, we're going to be watching this one with a very, very close eye, because, you know, Apple's going to announce their new versions of iOS next week at the Worldwide Developers Conference virtually, and we'll see if there's any changes to this and see if, you know, we finally get, after all these years, the ability to set a default email client and web browser at iOS. Which,
are you kidding me?
No, we don't have
you
that ability.
Do that.
No. No, if you use the Gmail email app on iOS and you open a link, it will open in Safari even if you have Chrome installed.
That's pathetic.
I mean 30%, doesn't that just seem like they're just being greedy at that point? I mean, that is a hell of a lot.
That's how they become a $1.5 trillion company.
Yeah, Shane does love his monopolies.
I don't guess. Like monopolies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, That's a lot. That's a lot, I think. I mean, for doing nothing? I mean, shit, dude, that's a lot.
The Valve strategy.
Exactly. And, you know, we'll watch and see how this goes, but this is definitely something to keep an eye on and see if it gets mentioned at all at next week's conference for the new operating systems, to see if there's any kind of changes to this or the operating system side on that. Our next piece of tech news comes from Twitter, where, you know, you're going to be able to have a voice recording on Twitter as one of your tweets. You'll be able to talk for 140 seconds.
Twitter.
So there's Instagram now.
Twitter can go right off.
Well, I mean, I'm actually interested about this. I'm not going to lie.
Why?
Because we here at Update are primarily an audio show, right? And
suppose
if we could, you know, say at the start of the week, do a 2 minute and 20 second microcast on Twitter about the week's update, that might be interesting. And having native support on the Twitter client for us to do a compressed weekly bite, I think might be interesting.
Call me old, but I'm not going to sit there and listen to something when I'm scrolling through Twitter. When I scroll through Twitter, I want 140 characters or whatever the hell it's at now.
280.
And that's it.
I'm just afraid of the voices that we would hear. I don't want to hear them.
Yeah, I think you'd have to, like, you'd have to opt in. It would be just like video, right? So you'd have to, like, you'd see it going, and then you'd have to focus the tweet to get the audio of it. It's starting as an iOS-only feature, and they're going to be rolling it out to a few select users. And they say in the coming weeks, everybody should be able to tweet with voice. And people will be able to reply with voice, too. And they say they're doing this because there's a lot that can be left unsaid or uninterpreted using text. So we hope that voice tweeting will create a more human experience for listeners and storytellers alike. Whether it's story time about your encounter with wild geese in your neighborhood, a journalist sharing breaking news, or a firsthand account from a protest. Oh, that's a little close to home. We hope voice tweeting gives you the ability to share your perspectives quickly and easily with your voice.
So basically, instead of seeing all the very bad tweeting typos, you just scream into your ear like, "I hate everybody."
Yeah, we get to hear the non-coherent thoughts now.
Yeah, you know who's going to be using this, right?
Yeah, we do, and I'm not. Yep.
Anyways, one more piece of tech news, and this is a big story. So Mac users might be familiar with this company, but if you're not, there's a company called Parallels that does virtualization, which effectively, if you have a Mac, lets you run Windows on your Mac to run Windows applications. Now, Parallels is bringing this technology to Chrome Enterprise, which means that starting this fall, you'll be able to run fully fledged Windows apps on a Chromebook that runs Chromebook Enterprise. And the ramifications of this, of being able to run a Windows application through virtualization on a Chromebook, completely changes the definition of what a Chromebook is usable for. Because I think we view Chromebooks as kind of maybe a content consumption device and a device that is used in schools, right?
All right, you got it with the second one.
Okay. And you use Chromebooks and you administer a Google school. And what is the number one thing that is missing for you?
Really? Nothing.
All right. But how useful would having Microsoft Office, for example, be?
It would be very useful. I mean, there's a reason that I carry around a Mac. I have an Air, and I recently got a Pro. It's because, like Chromebooks, I can open it up, and it's there. And I can just open a web browser and go to what I need to. But, I mean, I... My mother broke her leg a couple months ago, and I brought home a Chromebook for her to use. So, I mean, like, everyone was at that time at home, and we just had Chromebooks on a shelf that could not be used. So, you know, I disinfected it, brought it home. She has been so pleased with it. So I don't know. I think it's, I'm very curious to see where it goes.
Game changer. Game changer.
I hope so.
I mean, well, it's basically going to be back to the old days of the Sony mini laptops back in, like, was it 08 days? Where, like, they were releasing a whole bunch of, like, super mega tiny little,
netbooks.
Size laptops.
Yeah, those were...
Oh, I hated those.
Same.
I hated those, too. They had no power, but it was perfect for the Asian girl who was, I'm just going to type a Word documents on this for class.
Yeah, that Chromebooks were the natural evolution of that.
And they're better.
Mm-hmm. So I think this is basically what it's going to be. Everything saved to the cloud and all that stuff, so... You know, and I remember the days of, like, carrying a USB everywhere to, like, you know, be able to print stuff from the store and everything. So that's basically my thoughts on it. It'll be good for the broke college student where I just want something that will just let me print my thing for a class and whatnot.
Yeah, but you can all do that on the Chromebook already, and amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. Really, really is.
Yeah, Chromebooks are neat, but they've always felt limited to me, and I think that will take up the, that will take away a lot of that. So that's the, you know, perspective at 30,000 feet, if you will.
Right on. All right. Skill of the month. We had our ranged skill of the month that wrapped up not too long ago. Yeah, you remember what you did here. Added Darkmoor 1 with 2.1 million XP. Casper came in second with 929k. Rippeth was third with 927. And Lord Earth and Jesse Pinkman got a big fat goose egg out of this one.
Yes!
Then we have our agility contest, or the Silverhawk boot contest, which I don't think has been activated yet. Rippeth is in first with 130k, Casper in second with 46k, and Earth, if you still want to, you can jump in on this one. You have until the 25th.
Hmm.
For agility.
I'd rather not.
Yeah, a little bit of a slower contest after the ones that we've run in the previous 2 months, but nonetheless, that's to be expected. That being said, we do have a good number of achievements this week that we're going to run through right now. So I'll start us off on June 17th. We have Captain Metaphor with 99 Archaeology, Colton with 120 Dungeoneering. Boy, that's a climb. Wiki 86 with 99 Dungeoneering. Devil Chat with 99 Summoning, and Hemsky got 99 Archaeology on the 16th.
Yay.
Lana Kia got 99 Archaeology. Laurie Soros got 120 Invention. Zach 27 got 99 Range. All of those were on June 16th. And then Derp and Pony Picker. Derp got 120 Constitution and Pony 120 Archaeology on the 15th.
Nicely done.
Right. Then we have Kinksy with 99 Archaeology on June 14th. One Rib with 120 Invention on June 13th. One Rib with 120 Archaeology on June 13th. Nice. Jaguar 007 with 120 Slayer on the 13th. Jaguar 007 with 120 Farming on the 13th as well.
Very nice. And wrapping up. Okay.
Very nice.
And to wrap it all up, we have Dr. Bruce with 99 Farming. Luke Totodile, 89 Archaeology. Mess Graham, 99 Fishing. Vine Shade at 99 Mining, all on June 12th. And we have Laura Soros, who 99 Archaeology, Tizocorex with 120 Archaeology, and Zach 27 with 99 Strength on June 11th.
Nicely done, everyone. Nice achievements. And as we move to the end of the show, Earth has our pick of the week. What do you got this time for us?
All right. So recently, I had to move from AT&T to Verizon due to not having service where I work, as well as the company offering to pay for my cell service. So I was like, that's a no-brainer. But the phone that I had before, the Samsung Galaxy S8 Active, very conveniently with AT&T had all of the bands needed for Verizon, but their primary one. So, yes, I was able to get my phone unlocked, but no, it doesn't work on Verizon's network. So they're complying with the law. You can unlock a phone once you're done with the paying it off. That doesn't mean it has to work on another provider. I'm very bitter about this.
Oh, we can tell.
But, so I got a new one. The, S20.
From Samsung.
Also from Samsung. S20 5G. And I'm actually astounded at just how much of a difference there is.
Oh, wow. And that's only...
The camera? 3 years, yeah.
Yeah.
The camera is... I mean, I take a picture of it. It looks like a something that would be taken on like a DSLR camera.
Right.
Like I took some pictures of my dogs. You can see like the individual hair on their fur, and the camera I'm still just blown away by. It also, the Active had the fingerprint sensor on the back. This one has it under the screen, and it works fairly well.
That's a nice feature.
That's been the hardest thing for me to adjust to. But I love this as much as I love my old phone. I miss my old phone.
Even though it's not as much of a rugged case.
Yeah, but I got a see the Active. I ended up getting that because at the time I worked in a shop and there's lots of sawdust everywhere and was afraid it'd get scratched, and lasted 3 years, never scratched it, never broke it. But this one, there wasn't an Active version. But I'm very impressed by it. I mean, there are lots of little features.
What color did you get?
Gray.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it was get.
Black. White? Tactical black.
It's gray. I think it's cosmic gray.
Cosmic gray, cloud blue, cloud pink, or cloud white.
Yeah, no.
And you didn't get the plus variant, I guess.
No, I didn't, but I'm a little bit regretting it because I found out that I can't remember what it's called, but there's an extra sensor on the plus and the... What's the big one?
Ultra?
Ultra.
Yeah, that's it. There's another sensor on the camera on there. I can't remember what it's called. But apparently you can pull your camera out and you can tap something and it will measure the dimensions of something for you. Like you want the measurements of a bookshelf, you come pull out your phone and you do that and you just point it at it and it can tell you what it is.
I've always wondered if those kind of measuring augmented reality things are active like that.
They are. It's amazing. And that would have been really useful for me to have, because I've had to go around, been looking in classrooms because I'm working on some floor plans right now to see how we can space kiddos out 6 feet. And just, you know, having that would be so useful for all the furniture in there.
Yeah.
But it's just stuff like that. I mean, I love my Samsung phones. This was the hardest phone upgrade for me because before it's always been time.
Right.
That other phone could have lasted me another 2 years. But I've been very pleased with it.
That's good.
If you are looking for a new phone right now, I would highly recommend you go with one of the S20s.
Alrighty then. What have we been up to? Let's start with you, Tanis.
Slowly making my way up to 90 divination on Junior and getting really close to my Encanto on Encanto Pickaxe, or Matic, I mean.
On who?
The main.
Oh, I beat you to that?
Yeah.
Holy crap. Jesus.
Don't get used to it, Shane.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Wow, alrighty. How about you, Trekkie?
Usual things. I'm actually working on the Dominion title to get 450 kills to complete the hard task. Yeah. It's going to take me a while. At least I found out I don't have to fight each individual boss. I just have to kill 450 bosses. That makes my life a little bit easier.
Does it?
Because you can supposedly just kill all the easy ones again and again and again and again and just farm grind for like a couple hours or whatnot.
Let's talk afterwards.
Yeah, let's do that.
That's not good.
All right. Anything else?
I actually bought Assassin's Creed Odyssey because it was on sale. So I've been playing that. So I always enjoy them, so I'm having some fun with it.
All right.
And that's it.
Sounds good. How about you, Earth?
Well, it's been an interesting couple of months working at a school, and July is going to be a rough month, I do believe. So I am preparing for that.
Okay.
I've been on the phone with 4 vendors in the past 2 days, spending big money.
I see. All right. Anything RS related this week?
Oh, honey. that time.
Or since you last been on, for that matter.
Right now I'm working on just cleaning some stuff up. My bank, that's been a big effort. Got too much stuff in there I don't use.
All right.
But Slayer, I got 90. I got a bunch of 99s. I guess I haven't been on since the last double XP weekend.
No, you were on for archaeology one of the weeks after archaeology. That was it.
Well, I got like 699s.
Yeah, we read those out. We read those out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's been. I've kind of stepped back a little bit since then. Cause
yeah, that's fine.
Things at work have gotten a lot more busy, and I'm tired when I get home, but good tired.
Alrighty. As for me on RS, I am currently at 97 archaeology. I'm around 600K away from 98. I might make the push for 99 this weekend before the next Yak Track starts on Monday. yes, that's what they're called, the Yak Tracks. Just so I can focus on that entirely. But, aside from that, still gathering data for that archaeology front to see how much of the XP comes from gathering artifacts without any augmentations, without a cape, without an outfit. It seems as though that you get around 25% of your total XP that you get from actually excavating the artifacts. And that would, of course, go down if you excavate faster. So if you brought in something like honed, or you brought in the cape or the outfit, that, of course, would go down. So probably looking in the 20%-ish to 25% range on that from that project in relation to the archaeology math I mentioned a couple weeks back. But aside from that, I'll just remind everybody again that this was our 15th anniversary episode of the podcast, and it's been a long, long time with this. So just a big thank you to all the co-hosts and all the producers and, of course, all the listeners after all this time for making Update possible. So with that,
guys.
What was that?
That's me, guys.
Yes, it is. It's also Trekkie and Tanis and Sirion and everybody else behind the scenes as well that makes this thing work. So thank you to everybody this year and last and going all the way back to 2005. But if you guys want to get the podcast delivered automatically to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe. We got Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, practically anything. Just visit update.rsbnb.com/subscribe, and we'll see you guys next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care, everyone.
See you.
Bye, everybody.